All right, take your Bible, open anywhere, it's all good. Go to Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14. I did go to this clinic I was wanting to go to, and I went there for 11 days. I've lost about 30 pounds, I can't tell it, but I feel great and walking better. I'm going down to 300, I'm serious. And so I told the preacher that I was in that clinic. If I'd have saw a Snickers, I'd have blended that sucker in the blender and drank that sucker, man. Good night. Son, I was hungry. I was with Seventh-day Adventists. No meat, no fish, and oh my goodness, no chicken. But I endured hardness as a good soldier and got through it. And he taught me a lot. And I'm going back, Lord willing, in December. And I was there 11 days and had my own room and bathing in the sun. You got clothes on and stuff, but you're out there and bathing and just sitting there in the chair and stuff. But I enjoyed it. It helped me out and taught me a lot of stuff. There's a video out there on YouTube. Look at it and watch it. It's called Fork Over the Knife. It'll help you. It'll bless you. And they had people there from all over the world. Africans, Jamaicans, you know, crisp and clean, mama, no caffeine, man. And I'd walk in there with a bunch of black ladies and say, man, we need some fried chicken and some collard greens around here. And I had them laughing every day. I had a good time. And they asked me to give chapel one. They asked me one time. I say one time to do chapel, and they never asked me again. And we had a good time in the Lord. And a black girl walked back. She said, I don't care what you say. You got some black blood in you, man. And well, I said, can I get a witness? Amen. And I tell you, I've enjoyed this up here. And I'm around here this week, and I'm doing some stuff for the Amish. I'm picking up some trailers and trucks and whatever. And doing some things for Alabama, just about got that reopened. But I made a decision couple of weeks ago, finally, to get out of Alabama and move everything up north. Brother Ryman never get right, I'll put something out here if he ever gets right with God. Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere. And I know I'm not trying to steal none of his people and so forth, not yet. And I've got a lot of young men coming in. I'll be on the phone this afternoon taking guys out of jail. Three of them, I got to bail them out of jail. Parents won't touch them. They're tired of it. But I'll go after them. And so that's what I raised stuff for. And I won't go into the whole detail. There's a guy who used to come in this meeting. He's sitting in jail tonight. He's sitting in jail. He used to preach here. He's on dope. And we ain't going to throw him away. I'm gonna go after him. I hope to see him this week. I'll go to jail and see him. Amen. So you'll believe in a work like mine when it's your son. Or your daughter, or your father, or your mother, or your preacher. So I had an old preacher who wouldn't throw him away. He took a guy back 38 times. Now, I don't have that much grace. But he took him back 38 times, and Brother Wolf taught me a lot of stuff. I took your pastor around this church, Dr. Norris, and Dr. J. Frank Norris was a unique man. And, of course, he died the year I was born, 1952. But the church ran about 5,000 or 7,000 back in, and they had two churches successfully for 14 years. His cousin owned Pullman rail car, and his cousin got him a ride on the Pullman rail car, and sometime he flew. His wife didn't like to fly. But they would take the Pullman rail car from Dallas up to Detroit every other weekend. And the pastor who he trained became my pastor, the bus kid, Dr. Beecham Vick. And he's the one that took over Bible Baptist Fellowship in Missouri and so forth. And Dr. Ruckman used to preach at that church every August and also Camp Chautauqua. And so a lot of that was all movement and so forth. And there's a little Spanky coming down the aisle there. Hey, Spanky, how you doing? And boy, got some cheeks on him. My goodness. But... Amen. Thank God he looked like his mother. Amen. God bless you. Over here, Mark chapter 14 this morning, and praying about what to give you. And I can preach for the next 20 years. I wouldn't have to study, but that's not what I'm about. I'm here to help you. And I'm here to, I preach to myself, and I can preach to you. But here's a story going over here about a lady, and some say it was Mary Magdalene and so forth. And that was the Lord's first convert. And there's something about a love of a woman that men don't have. The Lord told him he's going to get up in 3 days and 3 days and 3 days and 3 days, and none of them were there, but Mary was there. And she listened to him, and she anoints him here in this Mark chapter 14, and she anoints him early. I guess the Lord knew that he had to be anointed before he died, and the apostles didn't do it. Somebody beat them to the punch. And I like to get things done for God as quick as I can. And I like to jump on something. When I feel it hot, I like to jump on that. And over here in Mark chapter 14, verse 1, after 2 days, a picture of the church age after 2,000 years, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, a picture of when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, Exodus chapter 12, a lamb, the lamb, and then your lamb, amen. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft or put him to death. Anybody that's doing something for God, look up here. I come here to preach this morning. Anybody that's got to worth their weight and do something for God, people are going to set you up for craft and try to trick you and to mess up your Christian life. That hadn't changed back in the time of Christ. It hadn't changed in 2017. I got preachers, if you don't do it like they do it and you make them look bad, they don't like you. And I don't want to run homes. I don't want to run them. I'd rather be an evangelist. Get to loot and scoot. But that's not what God called me to do. Man, I quit about 100 times. Lord, let somebody else take care of these guys. He said, that's what I called you to do. I do evangelism to pay my bills, to keep Karen happy. Amen. She told me the other day, are you preaching out next week? I said, what'd you buy this week? She said, no, I didn't buy. All your credit card did. Amen. Night. But I'm trying to tell you, I heard a lot of stuff as a Christian, as a preacher, I don't want to do. I've been working with these people. You know, I got my calling up down on Palafox Street, street preaching in Pensacola, Florida, on Saturday night back in the day. And I would go down there every Saturday night. We had 15 guys, 10 guys, 5 guys. Then one night I looked behind me, there was nobody there. And no one taught me how to do it, but I grew up on the streets and always had cheeseburgers. Everybody likes cheeseburgers. I went down there, I'd passion them out. One day I hired 2 hookers to make me some chili. Amen. There was nobody else around, and their chili tastes mighty good. I bought the chili only, just for you critics out there, okay? I don't want no mind thoughts going here. And these women went home and made the chili, and we brought it back in soup. And the Lord said, this is your work, son. I got that while I was in Bible college. The gifts and calling of God without repentance. He's not going to change his mind on his will for you. And that's why your preacher wants you to sing. Hey, I notice, hey, some churches I go to, they're dead. Only difference between them and the morgue is they're sitting up. You got something special going on around here. And you take it and yearning. And you expect it to be that way every Sunday. Every Sunday, you're going to fool yourself one day. You better glean all you can off this preacher right here. One day he'll be gone. Then you say, where's Brother Ryman? What'd you do when you had him? Somebody say amen out there. I feel a preaching spell coming on. One day Miss Ryman will be gone. Hello, hello, hello. Hey, I didn't know my preacher was going to get killed in the plane crash. That's 68 years old. God took him home. You better thank God for what you have. And you got a national, I said, there's no youth conference going to go on this week anywhere in the country like this one. They copy it, but it ain't like this one. Hey, man, I ain't stopped crying since I was sitting there. I said, Lord, I said, this is good. This is good. This is good. Even though it's one of my best friends, said, Lord, this is good. I'm glad I get to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you go home and take it yawning. But wait, let me preach to you. I'm getting hungry, every man. Every time I swallow, my stomach says, thank you. Somebody says, what are you eating? Anything that moves, bless God. Amen. Good night. Man, my wife bought a bunch of stuff, and she said, man, this is nasty stuff. I said, no, that's what I'm eating now, baby. Don't make fun of me, okay? Hey, God bless you. She leaves my food alone. She got her side of the refrigerator. I got mine over here. Yogurt and peanuts. Oh, my goodness. And but I sneak something real once in a while. Amen. I'm like a dog. You see a chicken, it's gone. And a dog will take it and run with it. I take that leg of chicken. I'm getting this leg of chicken. Amen. He my dog. We fight over it. Amen. He's a chihuahua about that big. He's not, daddy, you ain't supposed to be eating that. Don't you tell your mother. I'll sell you to a dog pound or something. Amen. His name is Peanut. Amen. God bless you. Look over here at verse number 3. And being in Bethany, watch this, in the house of Simon the leper. Isn't that funny who the Lord hung around with? Hung around sinners. Hung around sinners. Simon the leper. I like what E.V. Hill said. He said, everybody in my church is an ex-something. You'll catch that letter wrong. Everybody in here is an X something. Hello, I see the halos on your head. I see a few horns popping up. And in being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, not at vegetables. Amen. There's just some fried potatoes. And ooh, hold my mule while I shop. You know, you got 9,000 taste buds on your tongue. And when you're trying to eat right, they all start talking. Say, man, where'd you get this nasty food at, man? I want some love-eyed chicken from Popeye. Oh, my goodness. Well, I was lusting after some chicken and Popeye and some Popeye beans and rice. It'll change your life. With some jalapenos, man, what you talking about? Amen. That's good preaching, isn't it? Amen. Now, you can have Kentucky Fried. I like Popeye. It'll change your life. About 2 in the morning. Amen. It'll change your life. Amen. All right, let me preach to you. I know one thing. When you hear me preach, you'll get hungry. I said, Brother Jack, every time you preach, I get hungry. Amen. God bless you. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, they came and said at me, and a woman having an alabaster box and spikenard, very precious, and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves of the ointment made. It wasn't that they didn't get mad because she put out the ointment. They got mad because she beat them to the punch. She beat him to the punch. Verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She wrought a good work on me. For the poor you have with you always, and whensoever you may do them good, but me you have not always. You're going to do something for God? Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. She have done what she could. She has come before him to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, he gives her something. Whoo! Look at what he gave her. Verily I say unto you, verily, wherever soever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, wherever it's preached, it's going to be preached in the millennium, 1,000 years in the future. And he's going to talk about what that lady did for him while he was here on this earth. Whoo! It's going to come up. 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 That's what she did. That's what she did. That's what she did for 1,000 years. What's he going to talk about you about? What's he going to talk about you about? Oh, they never came to church. They never got in. But oh, I like this lady right here. When everybody else foreign and frolicking, she anointed my body for the burial. And she gave it all. She did what she could. Others can do better, but she did what she could do. What are you willing to do for the cause of Christ? You willing to give up some of your foolishness? Quit acting stupid. Quit acting goofy. You only come to church when you feel good? No, come to church when you feel bad. Come to church when you feel bad. Come on, get in. Get in. She have done what she could. That's not what I'm preaching on. She did something to him that day that baffled everybody's mind. She poured everything she had on him. She poured it out. You know what's wrong with the average Christian? You're holding on to what you got. You're holding on to your will. You're holding on to your life. And you got it all tucked away for a future date. And what you need to do for this conference is pour it out. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I say, pour it out. You don't know my burdens. I say, pour it out. You don't know my financial setback. Just pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Then I get your paying bills, and my wife said, Jack, I don't know how we're going to do it. I said, do what? She said, we got stuff on the table. I said, pour it out. Pour it out, Karen. Pour it out. She called me this morning. She said, how much are we giving to missions this year? I said, I gave you the number. She said, is that a month? I said, yeah. Well, now if you tell her this, I'll deny it. So don't you tell her. I said, Karen, I said, we got to pour it out. You got to get some faith. She said, honey, I said, it's by faith. I'll preach on that tonight. It's by faith. It's by faith. You said, preacher, why don't my mom and daddy get right? Why? Hey, pour it out. Pour it out. And bring them to the altar and pour it out. I don't care what you're going through. Pour it out. poured the whole thing on Jesus' head. Somebody need to come this morning and quit carrying your burden. Quit carrying your anger. Quit carrying your jealousy. Quit carrying your sin. Pour it out. That's why I talk. You think I talk to you because I just want to fellowship? No, I'm trying to read you. What are you doing with your life? Oh, I don't know. Trouble coming. I don't know. Trouble coming. When I talk to someone, man, I'm serving God. I'm going soul winning. Aha! Right, hey, green light. Green light. You're on. You got it. You got it. You got it. The happiest people here today are those with burdens who pour it out. It ain't the one that's got the bills all paid. No, no, no. Paying your bills don't make you happy. That makes you feel good. You know what makes you feel good? You're going to pour out everything you got. Take your Bible, go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. There's a battle going on there. There's a guy named David there. And there's some guys over here, and David's talking to himself. And David never asked these guys, listen to me, David never asked these guys to go to the well of Bethlehem and give him some water. You know what he said? He said, oh, I sure wish I had a water from Bethlehem. I used to drink from that old well when I was a kid. Yeah. Yeah. And there's three men around him listening to the preacher. You ought to be so close to your pastor that when he talks to God or anybody else, you can hear him talking. But you don't hear him talking because you never hear. Yeah. You doing all right? Did he put you up to say that? No, the Holy Ghost did. I'm big on the Holy Ghost. I need a big Holy Ghost to take care of this big guy. I need the Holy Ghost to take care of me because I got anger issues. Am I the only sinner in here this morning? Man, I want to kill more people. I don't like people who hurt people. And when I was on the streets, when you hurt people, I hurt you. I never started a fight in my life, but when they jumped on my brother or sister, we took care of business. My mom come in, she see my neck cut, my head cut, my eye all busted open, and she looked at me. I said, I won. I won. She said, how many did you hit, Jack? I'm about five of them. I got me an M&M, Mickey Mantle baseball bat. That's my M&M. I got a nephew. He thinks he's M&M. M&M. Yo, Uncle Jack, what's up, blood? He's 45 years old, acting like he's 22. I said, yo, Joey, what's up, dude? You know why he acts that way? Because his mind stopped when his father committed suicide. That was my brother. 1 week before my raid, my brother hung himself and killed himself. How'd you get by that? God, I got a big burden. I got to pour this out to you. Whew. I had one of my heroes is Dr. Ruckman. I don't have zeros, I got heroes. And I struggled with something in my Christian life, and I was there, I don't know, about 2 years before he died, and he saw me sitting over there, and he's about half blind, and I took karate with him as a kid, about a year and a half, and so forth. On Saturdays, I was about 18, weighed about 130. Then my left leg weighed that much. And he come by and threw a punch right in my rib. Boom! Man, after 90-something, 2 years old, he still had a punch to him. And he said, hey, man! He looked at my ear. He said, you need to get back working with a man. You're good at what you do. And I'm sitting there, and tears coming down my cheeks, and the guy next to me said, well, it ain't time to cry now, Brother Jack, and rejoice. The old man talked to you. Look on your chest. And when he hit me, he released his hand. And there was eight $100 bills on my chest. You know what he was saying? I don't know what you're going through, but I'm for you. And I wish I'd have kept those babies. Woo! Hey! Hey, what did you say? Hey, boy, you're going to do something for God? You got to pour it out. You got to pour it out. You got to pour it out. Don't carry no baggage. Don't carry no baggage. Pour it out. And I'm so glad this lady poured her life out to Jesus Christ. Now then, there's three guys going to the battle. Look at this over here. These guys are going to battle, 2 Samuel chapter 23. They're in the battle, and I like this over here. And it says two times over here. Look at verse 12, and look up here, verse number 10. The Lord, and the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Not just a victory. Hey, I want more than a victory. I want great victory. I want great victory. I want great victory. I want a great victory, but God's got to do it. God's got to do it. You want revival this week? Great victory. You got to get all the junk out of your head. You got to quit criticizing people. Quit blaming other people for your problems. Amen, Brother Jack. Good preaching. But oh, but wait a minute here. Look at this another verse. Look at verse number 16. And the three mighty men, whoo, break through the host of the Philistines, the world, drew the water of the breath of him and would not drink of it. Hey, you know what I need in my Christian life, bless God? I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. I got to get through. I got to have an answer. I got to have an answer. I've got to have a breakthrough. Then I must do something about it. Amen. Quit bellyaching over your problem. Quit bellyaching. Walk inside that church door. Put that bounce back in your step. Get that far away look back in your eye. And get the song of Zion back on your tongue. And you tell God, I want a breakthrough. I want a breakthrough. Amen. Quit crying about your problems. Quit bellyaching about your problems. Amen. Go get you a breakthrough. Woo! Go get you a breakthrough. Get some bad news in the morning. Get out of bed and get on your knees. Get you a breakthrough. Get a breakthrough. And then when you get through with it, just pour it out. Pour it out. It's a real deep thought here. It's real simple. You can never get filled until you get empty. You know, he tells them over there, be filled with the Spirit. He ain't talking to preachers. He's talking to saints. Last time you ever asked the Holy Ghost to fill you with his power. Oh, and you're Baptist? No, that's Bible. I told a charismatic told me one time, you don't speak in tongues and you believe in eternal security? Yeah, and I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I know Jack will mess it up. You ever get down the road and all of a sudden the Lord said, don't go that way. Go the other way. Big wreck right down the road. You know, you run your own life, you're gonna get you a big wreck. And you never even saw it coming. I went out there to buy stuff, and I had one guy wanted to give me something, and the Lord said, don't take it. I don't take everything with people. I know preachers, men, they take it. Yeah, you don't want that. My name is Jimmy. I take all you give me. I don't go around asking for things either. Hey, man. I've had a lady the other day call me. Missionary's wife. I'm helping her get out of jail. Messed her life up. She said, Bud Jack, my car broke down. I guess they think I'm a used car lot right on my forehead. You know why she asked me? Because she knows I know how to get things. I'll pray it in. I'll give it away. I want to have a breakthrough. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll get your car and I'll get you a house sold, but I want something back from you. So what's that? I want you in the ministry somewhere. I'm gonna put you somewhere. She called me back. She said, throw me a rope. She says, would you throw me a rope? I mean, would you help me? I said, I'll help you. I said, Karen, I'll help you. I said, I got a place that's going to tune you up for about 3 months, and then you get it done with that. I want you to start a women's home. I want you to cook there. She said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Where'd you get her? I got her out of jail. I had to break through. I had to break through for her. I had to break through for her. You know what I'm teaching you how to do? Pour it all out. But Jack, I got this problem. I got that. I said, pour it out. I sent a little girl over in Lexington, Kentucky to a preacher, and he's gawking at her, and, oh, man, you're going to sing in my choir? She ain't ready for the choir. She's a drunk. She's an alkie. She lost a little baby about 15 years ago when she was 20 years old, and she hadn't got over it yet. I heard she's the first girl I had in my home. Family called me yesterday. She's in detox. She said, tell Brother Jack, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want in. I want in. I'll do what he says. I want to help some other people to get my mind off myself. She's starting to pour her life out. She's starting to pour her life. Some of you got more bitterness and anger in your life because you got everything all wrapped up and bottled right in here. And you blame everybody else for your problems. And all you got to do is casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. David got that glass of water, and he wouldn't drink it. And the Bible said in verse number 15 and 16, they broke through, and he poured the water out unto the Lord. Sometimes it's the most precious thing you need, you have, that you pour it out to God. That you pour it out. When those kids get sick and doctor can't get to them, you don't learn how to pray. And you won't say, Lord, my boy's sick. No, 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 no. That's that first piece praying. You pray like you're coming to home plate. God! And man, then the soul starts talking. And God says, that's what I want to hear. That I don't want to hear your tongue. I don't want to hear your confidence. I want to hear your soul. Woo! Put some soul into it. I got right with God, brother. Good to see you. I got right with God. I mean, I got right with God. I went back in my old neighborhood. People owed money to. No one told me. I started paying them off. Hey, I sold your car. Did you steal my? Yeah, I sold your car. I wrecked it. How much you need for that? I work in a gas station, working in a factory. I worked all summer. People, hey, Jack, and then everybody's coming out. Did you ever break a mile? No, but I'll think about it. And buying drug money and everything else. But I went back and I just paid people. I just gave them money. Just paid to them. And I was still smoking. One day I was sitting down at the bank and my brother and the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, making donuts. I'm making donuts with my smoke. And the Lord said, get rid of them. I threw the whole box of Marlboro. I was smoking 2 packs a day. I didn't have to pray about it. You tell me that, I'm going to vomit at you. Well, I'm going to pray about it. No, that means you need more time to be an egghead. Amen. I quit smoking them old nasty Marlboros and everything else. And every time, I don't ever get an urge to get around Brother Ryman. He smokes. No, I'm just kidding. What are you doing, preacher? I learned to pour it out. I learned to pour it out. Man, I got in Bible school, Brent Baptist Church. Dr. Ruckman had a guy in there named Jacob Chile. He was in India. He read his Bible through 100 times on his knees. And I saw him there, and he liked to walk around with his bare feet. And I watched him for the next 40 years. I seen him around the country and preaching for him. And I asked him, I said, Brother Chile, what's the secret of the Christian life? He said, give God everything. Give everything. Give everything to him. Me and Karen's vehicle's getting bad, and that RV that your preacher now has, and it broke. I mean, really broke. I got it all fixed up, then he wanted it in Jesus' name. And I poured it out, and he got the blessings. And remember, broke down the highway. This is just about 2 months ago. I broke down. I said, my goodness. I said, man, how am I going to get this thing fixed? The tow truck took 7 hours to get there. I'm sitting there waiting for it, and I'm just happy in Jesus, staying in victory in Jesus. Yeah, right. I do the same thing you do. I got sick of tow truck. It finally showed up, you know, and I gave the guy a good tip, you know, at least $2. No, I gave him more than a Baptist tip. I like to poke some of you folks in the eye who leave a gospel tract with no money at a restaurant. Hello. I know some of you, I'm talking about some of my preacher friends, they'll leave a fake $20 bill in the gospel. I said, hey, would you like to work here? Would you like to work here? I was in a restaurant the other day, and the girl gave me my eggs and spun the plate around and got egg all over my tie. I said, oh, boy. I said to myself, she must have a burden. Hey, can I get another cup of coffee? Yeah, I'll be right there. Ooh. I said, okay. I said, can I have some lemons for my water? Yeah, I'll be right there. Be right there. What else you want? Another waitress. I had some extra cash on me, and I left a 20 spot with a God Temple Plan Salvation. I'm checking on it. Say, hey, you left this on your table. I said, no, I left that for you. said, I was very unkind to you. I said, yeah, you're just showing your human nature. I figure you're going through something. She dropped her head and started crying. My husband left me 2 days ago and took my kids. I don't know where they're at. I said, I told her how to get an independent Baptist church in the area, look up the phone book, and I gave her that, my phone number on the back of that, or Facebook. I told her, read that track, it'll teach her how to be saved. She said, are you serious? It'll show me how to be saved? I said, yes, it will. I gave her that track with a $100 bill. And as I drove out of that parking lot, if I'm lying, may God kill this guy right now. Fall over dead. I pulled out, Brother Ryman, and Cracker Barrel, and that lady was reading that track. Right there was a checkout. Would you check out and stuff? She stood there reading that track. Somebody had a big burden. Pour it out. I had something else to preach this morning, and on the way over here, God changed it over. When I got my coffee, that little old store down there, I knew I was going to preach on this morning. I'm preaching to myself first. A great victory. I don't want just a victory. I want a great victory. Amen. I want to know that God did it, not me. Amen. You want good crops? Great victory. Amen. You want good kids? Great victory. It sure be sad to know that your kid, your daughter and son's going to mess up because of your stupidity. Amen. Because they're watching you right now. Then when they do, go in the mirror and say, thou art the man. Or you could just say, I'm going to get right with God. And by the way, when you mess with your kids, apologize to them. Amen. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Yeah. I'll say it again. Fathers, provoke not your kids to wrath. Don't make them go out in the world because of your stupidity. Yeah. He didn't say mothers. He said fathers. Yeah. Go out there and let them see you get right with God. Let them see you cry over your sin. Let them see you hugging mama nicely and talking to her gracefully for a change. I was kissing Karen the other day. My little grandson said, Pow-pow, what you doing kissing Nana? Oh, that's my Nana Pudding. Ah. He's about 3 or 4 years old. He said, will you stay here till dark? Oh, we don't know where he got that from. He said, I want you to stay here till dark. I said, I got to get out of here. No, I want you to stay here till dark. What he means was to stay here longer because he wants more lollipops. I give him little lollipops. He said, I want the big one. Don't tell mom. They don't like me to have them, but I like them. 4 years old, already conning people. Look at there. Yeah, your kids got it too. Nod your head. Amen. God bless you. They got it from you. I was in Bible school down many years ago with Dr. Ruckman. I'd just been saved. Just trusted Christ. And I came across over in Mobile, driving a meat. I was cutting meat back then. And I saw a sign from Lucite Paint that said this. It says, start with a good finish. I was driving on the road. I spun back around that bridge, going to Mobile, come back in. I looked over there. I looked at that paint sign, and then I saw Borden's Milk. Well, man, that's Billy Borden. I just read his biography. I only been saved about 4 months. I said, Billy Borden. Man, he had some therapy inside his heart. He's one of the heirs of the Borden Milk product, dairy product, and he gave it all away. Gave some to Moody. Gave some to Mueller. Gave some to Sunday, back in that era. And he had 3 R's that governed his life. Are you listening? No retreat. No reserve. No regrets. I don't want no regrets when I'm 75 and 80 years old. Maybe blind one day. Maybe not be able to walk. But man, I'm going to get my health in order with a fork. Quit eating all the junk. Do I miss the Oreo cookies? I miss the Oreo cookies. First bite's a half moon. Second bite's a total eclipse. They're gone. The point is, see, I'm honest about it. I see the horns in your head. My point is I can't eat one or two, so I don't want them around me. Now, I admit, when I go into Ryman's house, they got stuff everywhere. And I know how to sneak things out. But I don't do it. I snuck some rice and meat last night. She said, that's not on your diet, and it is tonight. But if I got, I can't tell my guys to quit that crack pipe if I can't lay that fork down. What are you saying? I'm saying this. No reserve. No retreat. No regrets. Don't get to the end of your life saying, like David, I wish I had. I wish I'd had. No, you can get to your life and say, thank God I did. Father, thank you for the Bible today. Lord, I'm done preaching. Lord, I'm talking to some of the greatest Christians I've ever met in this life. I pray, God, you'll speak to our hearts today. If someone's here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they'll walk in aisle and they'll come and trust Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm talking to mom and dads and teenagers before this revival sets. They know what needs to be poured out. Standing everywhere, heads bowed and eyes closed, as Brother Jesse starts playing, Brother